Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, I am the light. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Then the Pharisees said to him, You are testifying on your own behalf. Your testimony is not valid. Jesus answered, Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, because I know where I have come from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is valid, for it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is valid. I testify on my own behalf, and the Father who has sent me testifies on my behalf. Then they said to him, Where is your Father? Jesus answered, You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would have known my Father also. He spoke these words while he was teaching in the treasury of the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated. When I was about 5 years old, my mom bundled me up and sent me out to check on Dad, who was milking in the barn. Now, our barn was about the city block distance from the house. And the winter in Nebraska is very much like the winter in Wyoming. It was cold, and there was snow on the ground, and it was dark. There was a cloudy sky, so I didn't even have moon or stars to guide me. But there was one small light in the barn. It was a 40-watt bulb, if I remember. It's been a long time ago. A few years since I was five. But that light shone through the barn door. And I set off. I was not afraid of the dark. I was a big five-year-old. I was brave, and I could manage anything. I'm marching down to the barn, and all at once, there is a shadow in the doorway. A monster is standing in the doorway, about to pounce on me. I am sure of it. And I am paralyzed, standing there, not knowing whether to turn and run back to the house or face the monster, because he's going to gobble me up. There's no question about it. And just then, the monster turned, and I saw that it was my father. He just got in the way. And instead of running to the house, I ran to the light and to my dad. Isn't it funny how darkness can scare the bejeebers out of us? In just about every situation. And some of you may have been to one of the caverns or the caves where they give you a guided tour. And somewhere along the path, they always go someplace and they tell you, hold on to something or someone, because we're going to turn the light out to show you what it's like in total darkness. And they turn out the light, and that 1 minute drags on, and it seems like it's going to drag on for an eternity, and then finally the lights come on and just about blind you. Imagine now what it must have been like for your ancestors who came to this country and had their first winter here. My own grandparents came from Germany. My grandfather was 12 at the time, and he said the first winter they spent in a dugout. They dug a hole in a hill so they had a place to live. And I can only imagine how dark and dreary a cave would have been. It was like a cave anyway. And that's where they had to spend their time. It's that darkness that kind of gobbles you up. There is also another kind of darkness that gets to people at this time of year. And it's referred to by St. John of the Cross as the dark night of the soul. There are many people who go through that. Agnes Sanford wrote a number of books about healing. And she refers to a period in her life that she calls the dark night of her soul. It was a night, a day, actually, in which she felt like she was at the bottom of a bottomless pit. It was so dark that when she looked up, she couldn't even see a glimmer of light. Her neighbor came to visit her and asked if she could help. And she said, "This pit is so deep." And she said, "Agnes, you pray for so many people. And you brought healing to so many people. Doesn't it help when you pray?" And she says, "I can't even pray. I'm that far down." And her neighbor said, "Okay, Agnes, you stop praying. I will pray for you." And Agnes describes in one of her books how at first there is nothing. She sees only this dark, deep pit. And then one day, there is this little glimmer of light, like a little speck that shows up someplace, and then it's gone. And for a couple of days, she feels nothing but darkness and emptiness. And then, describes it as if she was taking two steps forward and one back. Two steps forward and one back, because the light kept getting brighter, but it was like she couldn't quite reach it. But that's why we look at this day as a day of light, a day when we remember that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness, and that we are called to pray for those who are feeling that dark night of the soul. Because in all truth and honesty, they can't pray for themselves. It's just too deep a pit. So we call upon the light to bring light into people's lives. Isaiah is writing to a people who have experienced that deep, dark time. They are in exile in Babylon. They have been there for almost 50 years. And it seems as if they'll never get to go home. They'll never see the light again. And Isaiah writes to them and says, "Arise, shine, for your light is coming into the world." And then he describes how the light is not a physical light, like the sun or a moon, but it's the light of God that permeates everything and brings them back to life. Then, if you know history a little bit, you know that the Persians conquered the Babylonians. And Cyrus the Persian king allowed the Israelites to return home. What joy they must have experienced as they do that. It's almost 400 years later. And a baby is born in Bethlehem and laid in the manger. And the shepherds receive the news and they come to visit, something they could not have done if he had been born in the palace. And they worship the king. And then wise men from the very land where they came from Babylon, what was Babylon now is Persia, these wise men come to pay him homage and to bow down in prayer to him, because they know they followed a light to bring the light into the world. So Jesus tells us in the gospel today, "I am the light of the world. Anyone who walks to me, with me, will never walk in darkness." What a promise. And that must have seemed like a really strange promise to his disciples. especially as they followed his life. They watched him suffer and die a horrible death on the cross. But they also witnessed his resurrection and began to share the joy of that resurrection. But their life was not easy. Probably one of those, like, there were times when they felt like they were in that pit themselves. Because each of them suffered for the faith they believed in and they clung to. Stephen, the first evangelist, is stoned to death. James, the brother of Jesus, who was the leader of the church in Jerusalem, was beheaded, as was the Apostle Paul later. Each of them suffered a horrible death. Andrew and Thaddeus were crucified. Peter was crucified too, upside down, because he didn't believe he had the right to be crucified as his Lord was. Matthew dies by a sword. And Thomas, who started the church in India, is speared to death. Bartholomew is skinned alive and beheaded. Each of them suffered. John, who wrote our second reading from Revelation, according to tradition, was boiled in oil. But it didn't kill him, so they had to exile him to the island of Patmos, a kind of a devil's island. Each of them suffered for their faith and held on to their faith so firmly that nothing could take it away from them. Today we remember Lucia. Lucia was a teenage girl born in privilege, but didn't think privilege was something she wanted to hold on to. Instead, she used her privilege to bake little cakes for the poor and would deliver them to the poor. Lucia would go out even at night to do this and wear a crown of candles so that she could carry more of those buns to the poor. And then the Romans captured her and ordered her to stop proclaiming the good news of God. And Lucia said, "I can't stop." One of the soldiers thrust a spear in her throat, hoping to shut her up. But she still proclaimed God's good news. One of the other soldiers gouged out her eyes. And miraculously, her eyes were restored, according to tradition. Nothing could stop her. Even while she was in prison awaiting being burned at the stake, they gave her an out. Just denounce this Lord that you claim to believe in. Renounce him, and we'll let you go free. But she said, "My death will speak more to those who suffer than if I live." And refused to give up her faith, dying even then. And Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." And Jesus calls you and me to be that same light. How firm is your faith? Is it strong enough to stand up to those who put it down and persecute it? Is it strong enough to say, "I believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior"? Because that's what he calls us to do. May we do so with all joy and gladness, knowing that he is the light of the world who will cast out all darkness. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Let's stand and sing Drawn to the Light.
Today, we give thanks to God for creating light out of the darkness, of the chaos at the creation, and continues to turn darkness into light in our world. We remember a faith-filled teenager who gave birth to us. Sorry, I'll go on. Jesus, the light of the world, let your light shine on all who are gathered here this day. Enlighten us with your word in their hearts. Stir up.